Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the Firm Foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
Today I want to share with you a lesson and a life-sustaining principle. Very important lesson, a foundational lesson today, and it's entitled, The Spirit of Life in Christ. Say, the Spirit of Life in Christ. And my subtopic here, just to trigger your thinking, is stronger than the law of gravity. I'll explain that. Let's go to our text, Romans chapter 8. I want to read several verses to get the foundation under us here. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. The Apostle Paul wrote, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law may be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. There's a lot of words there. I want to explain it to you, so pay attention. There's a lot of, it seems a little deep, complicated. We'll explain it to you, because it's very important to understand this principle. Because this principle of what Christ has done for us is what has sustained us and kept us and will continue to keep us if we want to be kept. Remember the old saying, God will keep you if what? If you want to be kept. Amen. In fact, let's just say the key statement in this verse, all right? I'll have you say this after me if you could, please. Say this, say, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. I say it again, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. One more time. For the law, say it together, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. I read it wrong. Read it and put Jesus back in. Okay, read it again. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Here is something that God has done for us in Christ Jesus that has made me free from something that was against us. God's done something for us to free us from that which was against us. Remember this, that God is working for you and has put systems and laws in place to help you. I'm trying to make this real basic and fundamental for us all. Say this, say, God is working for me and he has put systems and laws in place to help me. That's my main point for the whole message today, that God has put a system in place. We also call it laws. And I'll explain that what law means. But basically, it's a system. God has put systems in place to help us. You know why he did that? Because you couldn't help yourself. There's a deep thought right there. And you know, sometimes we're kind of feeling good about ourselves. It's okay to feel good about yourself. But don't feel too good about yourself, because you'll find out a lot of stuff you can't do. A lot of stuff you can't figure out. We get stuck. And so God put systems in place to help us. And he had preordained this a long, long time ago. Now, here's the next point I make to you. So think of God's systems and laws as you think about the law of gravity. Which we all understand that. Gravity is everywhere on the earth all the time. But gravity is everywhere, but it's stronger on the earth for us. Gravity works for you and can work against you. But it was designed to work for you. So when God sets up systems, sets up laws, spiritual laws, natural laws, he put all this here to help us. But you can also hurt yourself on the same, if you abuse, abuse is abnormal use, okay? If you abuse what God has given, it'll hurt you. Not because God wants to hurt you, but you hurt yourself. You know how it is, we got knives in the kitchen. We got knives to help us. We got pots and pans and the stove to help us, you know. You know the old, how it is your mother trained you or your daddy trained you. You know how it is, you know, if you got a skillet on the stove, right, and the handle was sticking out, you know the first thing is move that handle around. Move the handle because you don't want to walk past that stove and hit the handle, knock the skillet off and burn yourself, right? We all know that drill. Yeah. If you didn't learn the hard way, if mama didn't tell you or didn't slap you and tell you, whatever that, what you don't want to happen is to hit that handle and have that grease fall on you. So, but it's there to help us. Everything in the house is there to help us. So I want to make the point and kind of belabor the point because I want to tie this in to the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Because that is the principle that has saved us and is keeping us and sustaining us day in and day out. Now, next point here is, for various reasons, people don't view God's systems and laws as real, consistent, and reliable. People don't think it's serious. People don't take the Bible seriously. And so now the reason is that people have misused the Bible. People use scripture to justify slavery. So there have been all kinds of abuses. See, God gave the systems of scripture, the laws of scripture, to help us. But people even misuse that. Not that God condones it, but people become deceived are tricked by somebody into thinking that what they quoted from scripture is from the heart of God. It's not. People can quote the Bible and have the wrong spirit behind it. But the thing is, there's nothing wrong with the Bible if somebody misuses scripture. It's like us trying to say, there's some bad cops, all police, the whole police system is bad. No, that's not correct. We know that there are some bad cops, but you still need the police when you need them. Yes. Come on, somebody. Or here's a more relevant. Some folk don't trust or think something wrong with science. They put their thinking up against scientific minds. They decide, I know more than the scientists and doctors know. And so what happens is they don't get a vaccine. Didn't get vaccinated. And so some vaccines would have saved, a lot of lives. So some people have made the decision and have been, had tragic outcome. So God put systems in place, including science, to help us. But then when people misuse or ignore or twist the truth of something, they hurt themselves. Amen. With the very thing that God designed to help them. Amen. I want us to focus here on this, that what God has designed for us in this principle we're teaching about the spirit, the law of the spirit of life in Christ. It's called the spirit of life. That's a big clue right there. It's called the spirit of life. Man, isn't life powerful? You know, my dad, Elder Hudson, he helps us out and works around the church and I talked to him last week. He said, I'm coming over. I'm going to kill some weeds. You know, he kills weeds because weeds come up through the asphalt. I mean, you got concrete and asphalt and stuff growing. Life just finds a way. You know what I'm saying? You got You got weeds of life. Now, that ain't much of a life. We don't cherish the life of weeds. You know what I'm saying? But it's life. And so it's amazing. You've seen trees come out of walls and things, right? Life is something special. And so the spirit of life, I'm talking about life, spiritual life, first of all, the life that Christ gives us is powerful, strong. It's a spirit of life. Now, we need that because we're in a world where also there's a spirit of sin and death. There's a law of the spirit of life, and there's a law of sin and death. And that sin and death is what we know that came when Adam sinned, the devil got loose, and all those things. So we know that that's out there as well. We see evidence of that every day. We see people possessed of a law, a spirit of a law of sin and death, like despots, like Putin. He is possessed with a spirit of sin and death. You know what I'm saying? We've seen it all through history, despots. So we need Jesus to work in us and through us and around us. Say, Father, thank you. I have the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Say it again. I have the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Now, don't get it twisted. The word always works if you work it right. Yeah, people abuse the scripture, you know, and try to make the Bible say, well, listen, the Bible says Judas went and hanged himself. The Bible says, go thou and do likewise. It says that, but not in the same place. One place it says Judas hanged himself. Somewhere else it says, go and do likewise, but not in the same place, right? So people take scriptures and mash up these ideas. You can read into the Bible and make it say anything. So don't listen to people who are just making stuff up. Don't give you the whole context. But then don't get it twisted. The word always works if you work it right. You know, you may have had a bad experience, ladies, with a guy. All guys not that way. Amen. Guys had a bad experience with a lady. They all not that way. Amen. All white folk, all black folk, not a certain way. Amen. But see, we have this thing in us where we don't want to think and really reason. We want to just sum it all up. So we have a tendency to broad brush people and take and have this opinion of everything. So the Bible's this way and old folks are that way. And see, don't fall in there. Stop yourself. And put your thinking cap on. Amen. Because a lot of old folk got money. Amen. Don't forget that. Number one, they got money. They got money. Old folk got wisdom. They done lived. They smart. You know what I'm saying? Because they old. You don't get old without being smart. And having some money. And having some things in place. Not that young folk are not smart. Of course they are. But I'm saying, don't discount people. If they're young or if they're old. Or if they're black, white, male, female, short, tall. Don't do that. And then, but do not discount the Word of God. Don't ever discount the Bible. Because somebody showed you something they couldn't explain. Or somebody's not living the life they're supposed to live. And reflect badly on the church and all this kind of stuff. So the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from. So whatever mess is going on, I'm free from it. Because sin and death sums up everything wrong. Sin, death, that's everything wrong. Everything bad, everything harmful. So whatever it is, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from it. Hallelujah. Y'all receive that?
Amen.
All right, a couple of scriptures. So then, again, don't get it twisted. The word always works if you work it right. Romans 3:3 says this. What then? If some did not believe, their unbelief will not nullify the faithfulness of God. First of all, I don't believe in that. Don't change nothing. Your unbelief don't change a single thing about God or about me or what I believe, what God's going to do. What, I don't believe none of that. That don't mean nothing. That amounts to a hill of beans in a 40-acre field. And other lesser things. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13, chapter 2, verse 13. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. For he cannot deny himself. You might fall off into the earth from shipwreck and discouragement or getting mad at the church and the preacher, and it ain't about nothing. Well, it don't change. Nothing has changed because you had a change of mind. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. So never be swayed by people who don't have faith, who've whatever, all messed up in their head. You know, pray for them, help them if you can. But nothing changes the objective reality of what the Word said, who I am in Christ. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus makes me free from the law of sin and death. Makes me free from. So if he made you free, you're still free. Now, Paul did say, don't get entangled again in a yoke of bondage. That's what happens to folk. They get entangled. And they lose sight of what God promised them. Let's go on. Here's a good one. Again, how God's word is settled. Psalm 119, verse 89 says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth and it abides. They continue this day according to your ordinances. For all are your servants. Unless your law had been my delight, I would then have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts. For by them you have given me life. Isn't that something? If your law, your word, your ways had not been my delight, I would have perished in my afflictions. Now, law of the Spirit of life delivers us from sin, the old nature, the old person we used to be, but also it works in every area. I believe the Spirit of life works in every area of our lives, physically, mentally, emotionally, financially. I see God working everywhere. He says he give us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Did he say it? And so we need to be convince ourselves and have faith in everything God has said. His word is settled in heaven. You know, I've picked up a new hobby. It's called astrophotography. I take pictures of stars and galaxies and stuff like that. And it's just a lot of fun. And what's amazing to me is, among other things, of course, now I grew up in the city. All of us city folk have never seen stars. We see the big ones. We see the bright stars and the planets. Now you country folk, you seen stars, the whole sky full of stars and the Milky Way and all that. Us city folk, we have to go to the country to see that. So what I got to do is go out way out east to a dark, you know, leave the city lights. It's called light pollution. They got a name for it, light pollution. I got to go way out east, about 40 miles to have a dark sky. But what amazes me is I got these star maps and apps and all that, and everything is where it's supposed to be. Every time I look up there, you know what I mean? At a certain time of night, everything God put there is there. right exactly where it was last week, 2 years ago, 500 years ago. It's still there. All I got to have is a clear sky to see it. God's word is settled. I mean, people argue. I listen to folk argue against the word and against Christ. I'm like, here I am, 65 years old, been saved since I was 21 years old. And I've seen God work every year of my life. It don't matter what you're talking about. I got evidence. You know what I'm saying? Your theory is weaker than my evidence. I got evidence now. So, you know, maybe I was early on. You could have talked to me about things. But when you've lived it and seen your parents, my mom, my dad, my granddad, I mean, generations of believers in Christ in my family. We've come up, you know, from slavery, from slave plantations, all this. Come on here. So somebody going to say to you, I don't believe it. That's your right. It don't faze me at all. You ever seen water on the duck's back? What happens to it? Pour some water on the duck's back. Watch what happens. It'll roll right off. But sometimes because we're not rooted and grounded, people say things to us and disturb us. Sometimes people, because we're not rooted and grounded in the word, we hear something and then a question come up in our mind. I wonder what is that really? See, that's evidence that you've not been rooted and grounded. Because when you become persuaded, not just by the words, but by the Spirit of God and by the experience and the wisdom you've gained, then you're going to be safe from people wanting to make you doubt. And moreover, able to help them come out of a place where they're doubting God. Amen, somebody? The best way you can help somebody doubting is this. Little tip. What you want to do is just pray for them. Say, can I pray for you? Ask them what the need is. I'm having some pain. Well, can I pray for your back? Yeah, I don't believe it. But can I pray for you anyway? Yeah. And then, and if God helped them, they'll never forget. You pray for me. You know, I remember years ago, we were visiting, we were in a hospital visiting a member, I believe, and I saw or was aware of somebody in the same hospital, the husband of a realtor way back then. And I just found him, went in the room, I prayed for him. I don't know his state of faith, but I prayed for him. He didn't seem enthusiastic about it, but I prayed for him. But word got back to me sometime later from his wife that, you know, you pray for my husband and he's better. And he keeps saying, that man came and prayed for me and I'm better. I feel better. Now, all I know is, you know, if you pray for somebody, don't argue with him. Just pray for him. Can I pray for you? Just give me something to pray about. I'm not going to reason with you. Let me just pray for you. Because what you want to see, what they want to see is the power of God. What they need is, see, some people, you can't reason with them, right? They got to be slapped. Just slap them. Now listen, I don't mean you slap them. I mean something in life got to slap people. I mean something good, too. Something powerful. Because folk act like stuff not real till it happens. We got a storm warning. We got a tornado warning. Seek shelter. I'm good. And they see a tree fall over. Oh, I got to go now. We were telling you. See, sometimes people, God knows this. Sometimes people just need experiences. It shouldn't take that. They should trust God and have faith. But God knows how to convince people. So just pray for folk. Ask him for something to pray for. Don't promise them results. Just leave it there. Let God do something with them. If he wants to. Amen? Because forever, Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. Not just old folk. Your grandparent, great, all generations. Now, the challenge today is get the new generation to get a hold of this. That's a challenge, you know, getting new generations to see this. Stuff we know to help them see it. Because it's working, y'all. It's worked for us. Now let it work for everybody. Amen? Amen. Now, here's an important point. Now, when we get on the wrong side of God's systems and laws, things don't always go wrong because of his mercy. Now, here's the problem people have. They think, well, God's not real because, see, I do all this, do all that, and I'm doing as good as you are. Well, see, mercy is amazing. Mercy is a mystery to me, you know, because I know that before I came to Christ, I did some extraordinarily dumb things and got away with it. You know, so to speak, I got away with it. And what it was mercy. The thing about, for example, let's talk about gravity for a moment. That's one of our topics. So now if you go up on this building and you jump off, you're going to hurt yourself. You may kill yourself, but you're going to be hurt at a minimum, all right? It's not even a tall building. It's like about 15 feet up. If you jump off, gravity is going to get you, unless you got some anti-gravity situation going on. But so then people think that okay, I'm messed with God. I defy God. I defy the church and everybody who talk about church. I'm fine. Well, think about gravity. Gravity has no mercy. Gravity has no mercy. God has mercy. So when we get on the wrong side of God's systems and laws and nothing happens bad, that's not vindication. It is mercy. Say mercy. So next point here is, but don't think it is evidence that God's systems and laws have stopped working. Or that you can build a life around going your own way. Say it again. Don't think that you're getting through, getting over, getting by like I thought is evidence that God's systems and laws have stopped working, or that I can now build a life, a whole life around going my own way. And here's the point here. The just don't live by mercy. The just live by faith. So you can drive around on E if you want to. You can drive around those Maypop tires. You know, Maypop anytime. Tires. I'm talking about Christians now doing stuff. You know what I'm saying? You can drive around and get an oil change. You know, but see now, mercy is amazing to me. But you can't live by mercy because at some point, if you try to live on mercy, and worse, if you're a believer, and try to play God, you force him to help you. He forced him to help you by running out of gas. Let me make a confession to you. It may help somebody. I ran out of gas. We've all done that. But only if you're wise. Or if you're not stupid, I'll just say, it only happens once. Like missing a flight, you know what I'm saying? I'm driving my black Lincoln. That Lincoln I had, that black Lincoln? That pretty black Lincoln with that metallic black paint on it and the big wheels and stuff? That one. I'm downtown rolling. Now, I was low on gas, and now my other car would tell me multiple times, You're low on gas. You're low on gas. One car even had a map come up on GPS. Here's the gas station. The Lincoln be like, I'll tell you one time. I'm going to give you one warning. So I'm downtown right across from J.W. Marriott. And round of gas. In the turn lane. Get ready to turn and go down toward past the convention center. I'm round of gas. I got folk behind me. I got folk beside me. And I'm out of gas. And like, Lord, and I hear God. I just hear God. See. So now he wasn't beating me down. It was more of just really my spirit reminded me, this is what happens when you try to, you know, you try to live on mercy. Right, you see it's low on gas, and you keep going thinking, I'm going to get some. And usually you do. But thing about mercy is, or thing about being foolish is, you forget to do what you said you're going to do. When you're foolish, you're going to forget. That's the nature of being foolish. And you forget to make, you forget to fix it. Foolish folk forget to fix stuff. I'm helping somebody here. So then, be like, you know, my wife's dad, my father-in-law who passed away in February. You know, that whole generation, that tank couldn't even get below 3/4. His tank could not, if he's in a car with you and saw you had less than 3/4 tank, he'd get some gas. Because back in that day, you know, back in the, 40s, you couldn't stop anywhere. You better be full of gas, you know. So my point is, I'm belaboring a point on purpose because I want us to get a hold to the fact that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus makes me free from the law of sin and death. And that foolishness, the foolishness of playing on the mercy of God, not doing what we should do, that's all a part of sin and death. You know what I'm saying? Amen. Because that stuff can lead you into sin and get you killed. Yeah. I mean, honestly, some things we do can get us hurt. Yeah. Hurt other people. Yeah. All right, you got that. I can move on now. Let's talk about what this word law means. We saw the word mentioned several times in our text, the law of spirit of life, from the law of sin and death. The word law is used about 4 times. Let's explain what that word is. All right, it's important to understand the use of the word law in the book of Romans and throughout the Bible. Now, the Greek word is nomos. It literally means anything established. That's one definition. It also means a precept or a principle. All right, law means anything established. Law means precept or principle. Law can also mean the law of Moses, Ten Commandments, Mosaic law, we call it. Law can also mean a New Testament covenant principle. Same word. Now, example would be, I always say this, like the word dress. You can dress, you can wear a dress, you can dress a wound, that's a verb, of course. You can field dress an animal, that's something deep. So wear a dress, dress a wound, dress an animal. You know, dress can be used, the word dress can be used different ways. So what determines what it means is how it's used, the context in which we find the word dress. Same with law. The word law, you understand it based on the context. See, we think the law means like speed limit law or the law regarding, you know, minimum age to drink and so forth, or something the law just always means what Moses said. But the Bible uses law 4 different ways. Now, let's go back and look at the text and see the word used. Now, the word law is used in the book of Romans in 3 ways. Okay, first of all, referring to the law of Moses. We'll go back and show you that here in a moment. Second, as a principle. Law is a principle to describe like sowing and reaping. The law of sowing and reaping, that's a principle type of law. And New Testament principles. We just read one, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's a principle specific to our walk in Christ. So there is the law of Moses, Ten Commandments and such. There is a principle like, you know, sowing and reaping and gravity. And then there are New Testament principles, what the Bible, what, you know, New Testament scriptures teach us. Now, let's go back to Romans 8. Let's see this in action. It's very important to get this because I want you to understand what you're reading. All right, so there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. Which law was that? Is that law of Moses? No. Is it just law of gravity? No. It's the New Testament Christian, if you will, covenant law, right? It's a law established in Scripture, New Testament Scripture, all right? Made me free from the law of sin and death. Which kind of law was that? Is that Moses' law? Is that New Testament law? No, that's principle. Now, you know, Think about God's laws, God's systems. There are certain of them that are made for those who follow Christ to benefit from them. But then there are laws that affect everybody. The wages of sin is, that works for everybody, but unbelievers mainly. So understand that the word is used different ways. Next instance is, it says, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak in the flesh. Which law is that? Which law is that? Law of Moses. For what the law couldn't do, you know, what the Ten Commandments and what all the things that were written that people should have kept and done, but what those things couldn't do, those things could not, they couldn't free people because they were weak through the flesh. You know, anything you commit to doing your own strength is going to fail. Any important thing you commit to do only in your strength is not going to work out too well for you. So he says, so what the law could not do, because weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son. So what religion and legalism and the law of Moses could not do, because of our weakness, God did when he sent Jesus. And that is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. You follow me? He says that the righteous requirement of the law, that's law of Moses. Law of Moses wasn't bad. It was important things said there, but we couldn't do those things without the Spirit of God. And he says there that this could be fulfilling us who don't walk according to walk, fulfilling us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That's topic for next time, about what it means to walk in the Spirit versus walking in the flesh. That's a different topic for next time. Now, let's go back to our main point here. Watch this. So then, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made us free from the law of sin and death. So primarily, it that worked to save us from our sins. Anybody used to be a sinner up in here? We're all sinners. Brendan was like this. That's how I felt. Both hands, both feet. You know what I'm saying? But the law of spiritual life in Christ Jesus has made us free from that. But and much more. Say much more. I'll give you an example of that. Now, as a believer, we benefit from this spirit of life. First in salvation, but also in every area of life. Yesterday, I was with some brothers over at Friendship Baptist Church. They have a separate event center. And I was there to do a live stream event. They had a men's gathering. And so myself and Donovan Norris, who helps me when Jonathan can't or Galen can't help me, I had him with me. And so we brought the camera gear and everything in there to set up for live stream. Walk in the door and they said, there's no power in the building. Or the church. Church is like half block away. And so there was a power failure overnight, apparently very localized. And I saw in the back lot there was a transformer on the ground just sitting there, I guess waiting to be installed. But suffice it to say, we got there early, no power. And this is not a building with lots of windows in it. And so about 80 guys were showing up, you know, for this breakfast, light breakfast, and this panel discussion for men. And so there we are now. You know, computers need electricity. Lights need power. But I pray the night before. I always pray over these projects I do. And Lord, give me grace and wisdom. And I pack all the things I think I need. And so I realized in that moment, I had everything needed to do a live stream without electricity. I had battery-powered lights. I had battery-powered cameras, battery-powered computer, and a battery-powered phone as an internet hotspot. I said, guys, we can do this. I can set my lights up to illuminate the whole front where the panel sits. Clearly, bright lighting. I said, we can do this. I said, I got enough power for 2 hours plus. We can live stream the whole thing. Now, they had their breakfast in a room with they had skylights in the other room. So we had skylights over there. And we had my video lights in the meeting room. We had our meeting. We had the meeting, y'all. We had the meeting. Live streamed it. Everybody loved it. Seemed like normal. Except it's a little dark in the corners. And in my mind, I don't separate that from the grace of God. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ makes me free from. Free from blank. From sin, death, and everything else. See? Another quick story. You know, those who are recovering, Deacon Ingram is here, my daughter Michelle is recovering, and all of us who've had any kind of surgeries, who are getting better day by day. Why are you getting better? Why are you improving? And then, God helps. The body works for everybody. Amen. But when you're a believer, look like God accelerates recovery for people who are in Christ. Amen. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ makes me free. And so I see that in Deacon Ingram, my daughter. I got a text from Judy Warren, who's coming for the book signing. Talked to her a couple of days ago and found out that Amazon shipped her the wrong books. Because she had a version of the book that wasn't fully correct. We corrected it and gave them a new version of the book to print. And they had printed and shipped to her a bunch of the old versions. And it wasn't time to print and ship another batch in the regular time frame. So we pray. Let's pray, Judy. Let's pray. And you'll find, this is Amazon. They can do anything. I mean, Amazon is doing the printing and the shipping. If they want to, we prayed about it. She got back on the phone. I got a text last night that said, Amazon's going to refund me. First, refund the bad batch of books. They're going to print a new batch and ship them to my house next Tuesday. You know what I'm saying? So she can have books to sell and people, and she can sign books, right? Now, God did that for her. Amen. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus makes me free from blank. Amen. For believers now. I'm talking about believers. Amen. And you can talk about you. What's your story? What has God done for you that you know wouldn't have happened if you were not in Christ? Here's Pat Jones. She's sitting back here. Same thing for her. Stuff she's been through, see? So I'm telling you, boy, it's true. Praise the Lord. Man, if I was younger, I'd run around here. I got too old to run. I run in place. Last scripture. This will bless you right here. David said, Psalm 37:25. I have been young. And now I am old. Yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging bread. So if you're young, listen to us old folk now. I've been young. And now I'm older. I ain't old yet. But I have never seen the righteous. I've seen the unrighteous forsaken. I've seen folk who compromise and quit on God and complain and say the Bible ain't right and church ain't right. I've seen them. But I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants. Descendants, others, my family, my children, my grandchildren, right? Even looking back, I know my granddad's in heaven and his granddad's in heaven. All those Hudsons and Haydens going back there, that was a promise to them. So now I am the descendant of those folk. And none of us are begging for bread. None of us. And not just descendants, I also count people, anybody attached, I'm attached to. in covenant, like church folk, church family members, I'm saying, anybody I'm attached to, nobody I'm around is going to be begging for anything. Anybody I can get to and help is not going to ever have to beg. Because, not because of me, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, thank you. Come on, give God some praise in here. Let's bless the Lord in here. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.